We're going to be in Luke 22 for just a few more minutes tonight. There's a word that the Jewish people use and use often, and it is so familiar not only to Jewish people, but the world over. It's pretty remarkable to me. And that word is shalom, peace. And there's a city called Yerushalayim, city of peace. And yet, this is a city that has known little, if any, peace. Across the years, it's been destroyed, razed to the ground, burned down, pile upon pile, over 30 times. And even today, when you visit the land of Israel, my experience has often been, when you're up in the Galilee, oh, it's peaceful and it's rural and there's respite up there. But you head down to Jerusalem and there is a definite intensity in the air. It is yet to live up to its name, Yerushalayim, the city of peace. In the last week of Jesus' earthly life, prior to the crucifixion, the resurrection, it was not a peaceful week. Jesus was being scrutinized and attacked and questioned and inspected and judged, much like a Passover lamb is. And the apostles were among those who were following and watching and listening and at times elated and at times confused. And the Jewish leaders were seeking ways they could kill him, frustrated and angry and beside themselves. There was very little peace in Jerusalem that week. But then on Erev Pesach, Passover Eve, Jesus found a way to clear the table and invite his 12 closest followers into that upper room for a quiet evening. The juxtaposition of the rest of the week and that Passover Eve is pretty stunning. That he sat back with them, probably around what they call a triclinium, that's a triangular table. So on all sides, but a low table to the ground, leaning on pillows, leaning up against each other, close to one another, and talking and sharing and enjoying the Passover together, which Jesus said in Luke 22:15, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I shall never again eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. A kingdom that will bring peace, but not yet. And on that night, we're told that when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he said, take this and share it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine from now on until the kingdom of God comes. Four cups of wine were shared, even today are still shared, in the Passover meal, the Pesach meal. They would follow what's called the Haggadah. The Haggadah is the showing forth. The showing forth. So it walked through this rehearsed and repeated every year, even to this day, this experience that we call Passover. And through the meal, they would share four different cups of wine. Actually, five, but the fifth one was a cup that was shared for Elijah. It was called the cup of Elijah, and that fell between cups three and four. I'm not going to talk about that one tonight. Four primary cups around which the meal was taken, was shared together. And the first cup, we believe the cup that Luke is referring to here, when Jesus had taken a cup and given thanks at the very beginning of the meal, Luke 22:17, is the cup of sanctification. The cup of sanctification. A kiddush is spoken over it. The kiddush is a blessing. And the blessing sounds like this in Hebrew, Baruch atah Adonai. Elchenu melech ha'olam, borei peri hagafen. They would actually sing it, kind of hum it or present it in that way. And it literally translates, blessed art thou, O Lord, our God, King of the universe, who has created the fruit of the vine. So the cup of sanctification, and this cup consecrated the feast to God. They would pass the cup and share it and by this say, this is for you, Lord. This is about you, Lord. Blessed are you, our Lord. And so we believe that this is the first cup. This is the cup that Jesus shared with them. And it's the last cup of wine that Jesus would ever drink. That is, until he comes in his kingdom. Why? Because Jesus has become our sanctification. He is now our sanctification. He is now the cup that satisfied. Well, after this cup was shared, hands are washed. I don't know if it was for 20 seconds or not, but hands were washed. And then the next cup, which is not mentioned in Luke, the second cup is called the cup of praise. The cup of praise. The Kiddush is prayed again, that Baruch Atah Adonai, and the cup passed around. And then after this cup, hands are washed a second time. And then the host gives the blessing for the matzah bread, Luke 22:19. And when he had taken some bread and given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them. When the matzah bread is broken, he would hold it up, the host of the meal, break it, and then pass it around. And as Jesus would do this, the blessing was spoken for the bread. And there are two blessings for the bread. One is it's being passed, the Kiddush, which reads, Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech ha'olam ha'motzi lachem min ha'aretz. Which means, blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth. And then that would be passed around, and as they shared it together, as they took it together, a second blessing over the bread was spoken. Baruch atah Adonai, Eloheinu melech ha'olam, asher kiddushanu b'mitzvotav vetzivanu al achilat matzah. I don't speak Hebrew, but it means, blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has sanctified us with thy commandments and commanded us to eat unleavened bread. Well, Jesus passes the bread around, but then he does something. And this is not in the Passover Haggadah. This is not in the planned order of the Passover. He breaks ranks, if you will, and does something unexpected. He says in verse 19, continuing, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Shocking. What? What are you talking about? This is your body. If you were in the room, you might, like some of the disciples may have been thinking, you might have thought, we've been celebrating this for hundreds, if not thousands of years now, and you're what? This is my body, which is broken for you, Jesus said. Some may have remembered, I wonder if John did, what Jesus had spoken back up in the Galilee. John 6:53, when he said, truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in yourselves. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. Early on in his ministry, Jesus was already proclaiming what he was going to do with Passover. He was going to make a transference. He was going to shift it into a new gear, high gear, if you will, going toward eternity. Jesus comes along and in saying, this bread is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Change the whole thing. He made it new. In fact, he gave it its full, profound meaning and its depth. Well, back in the supper, as they're sitting around eating the bread, wondering at these things, Jesus raises now the third cup, considered the most important cup in the Seder meal, and it's called the cup of redemption. The cup of redemption, Jesus again brought words of poignant surprise. In the same way, verse 20, he took the cup after they had eaten, saying, this cup which is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. The new covenant in my blood. The new covenant. New covenant. I know we've heard that somewhere. Who said that? Who taught that? The prophet Jeremiah. 500 years earlier. 586 plus years to be more precise. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 31. The prophet said, behold, days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not like the covenant which I made with their fathers in the day I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. That would be the Mosaic covenant, the law covenant. He says, my covenant which they broke, although I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. But this is the covenant which I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and on their heart I will write it, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they will not teach again each man his neighbor and each man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they will all know me. From the least of them to the greatest of them, declares the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity and their sin. I will remember no more. Jeremiah proclaiming the new covenant, and it wouldn't be spoken again. That mysterious prophecy of this new covenant was silent until Passover. And Jesus says, this is it. This is the deal. This is the cup that Jesus now relates to his own blood. The Hebrew pastor in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 24 says, Jesus is the mediator of a new covenant. Or 1 Corinthians 11, 26, Paul says, for as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. You proclaim that covenant sacrifice that Jesus was about to make on this night. Literally the next morning, as often as you eat the bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. And so we do this often, fellowship. We share in communion often. This is not ritual, as we've said so many times, nor is it religious exercise. This is proclaiming the sacrificial new covenant death of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Hey, what about the fourth cup? Well, no one mentions it. Luke doesn't mention. He mentions the first and or the second and the third cup. But the fourth cup, I'll just mention to you right now, is called the cup of acceptance. Or some would call it the cup of anticipation. That cup is based off of Exodus chapter 6, verse 7, which the Lord says, then I will take you for my people, and I will be your God, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God who brought you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. The cup of acceptance. But get this. It's not the people. It's not the Jew accepting God. It's God accepting them. It is his acceptance of Israel. You need to realize that, because every single person who has ever accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior was first accepted by God. He accepted you. He accepted me before I made that choice. His acceptance is what sent him to the cross. It's what compelled the love of God to be stretched out as it was. He accepted first. We simply accept his acceptance. No wonder Jesus waits to share this meal again until the kingdom promised to Israel. They drink this cup of acceptance, but it's God's acceptance, and he to this day is still calling out to his people. Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10 says, I will pour out on the house of David and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplication, so that they will look on me whom they have pierced. And they will mourn for him as one mourns for an only son. And they will weep bitterly over him like the bitter weeping over a firstborn. That is when Israel recognizes Messiah as Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. And when they recognize him as such, when they open their hearts to accept him, they will realize how all along Jesus is God's acceptance of them. Romans chapter 11, verse 26 tells us, so all Israel will be saved. Just as it is written, the deliverer will come from Zion. He will remove ungodliness from Jacob. That is God's acceptance. Well, the Passover supper was finished. And at this point, usually the guests would settle back from the table full of the meal and the meaning. But Jesus looked around and he saw some troubled faces. Perhaps some were confused, others concerned, trying to put together all that was taking place, trying to grasp what was really happening, and that is that a transference was taking place. Jesus transferring Passover to what we now call the Eucharisteo, the Eucharist, the Thanksgiving. We call it communion. We call it koinonia, fellowship. We call it the Lord's Supper or the Lord's table. But Jesus made this remarkable transference right before their eyes. You need to know, earlier today I was talking with Les and Jake are about to lead us in communion. And they're going to speak the blessings, those Hebrew blessings. And Les told me, he said, you know, when you gave me that assignment, I had a little bit of a problem with that. Les rarely has a problem with things that I ask him to do, but apparently the rebel in him was rising up. He said, no, I had a problem with that because I'm thinking, wait, I don't want to go back to the old Hebrew blessing. I want to go forward with Jesus. I want this to be about Jesus. And I hadn't explained myself that I wanted him to do the Hebrew blessing and then turn around and make it about Jesus, because it is. Because we can't go back. We can't take the transference and change it back to what it was. This is no longer Passover Eve. This now is the Lord's Supper, and it is anticipatory for you and for me of when we will eat it with him in the kingdom. He wants us to eat it right now, to proclaim his death and his until he comes-ness. He's coming. And that's the proclamation of this, and that's why we continue to do this. But Jesus looks around the room that night, and he sees the confusion. And he sees the worry, and he sees the dread. Judas has left the building, and Jesus says in John 14, verse 1, do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you to myself. There it is, God's acceptance. That where I am, there you may be also. And Jesus says, and you know the way where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you're going. How do we know the way? And Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. That way is still open. Right now, even tonight, for anyone who would choose Jesus, because it is Jesus who gives the blessing and Jesus gives the meaning to our very lives today.